With that said, I want to stand together and I want to do our declaration, and then I'm going to pray and jump into the word. All right, join with me. My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice. My mind will believe what he says, and my voice will declare the truth of his word. Amen? You may be seated. And Jesus, I just ask that you seal this time right now. Lord, speak through me. Use me as your vessel, Lord. This message is so needed for now. I feel all of your Holy Spirit on this. So Lord, just move in us and through us and help us to really understand what it means to abide in you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I mentioned two weeks ago that we're going to talk about this over the next couple weeks. And you're going to hear it more and more. We kind of talked about it in October, but you're going to hear about it more and more through the coming weeks and months, and just something that we want to get into us. And so the Lord wanted me to start with number one. So the three pillars are abide, thrive, and multiply. Abide, thrive, and multiply. And they are found in John chapter 15, starting at verse 5 through 8. We're going to read that in a minute. But we're going to take these one at a time. And so today, we are talking about abide. And we're going to unpack some areas that I believe the Lord wants us to focus on. If you're kind of familiar with, you know, many churches have a core value system, well, these are those. But we wanted to make it simple. If you can remember abide, thrive, and multiply, you got it. All right? So inside of the abiding, I feel like there's some things that the Lord wants us to understand, so we're going to talk about that today. And I believe the Lord showed me a framework as I was praying about this, and he gave me an interesting word, trellis, and I think I have a little bit of a little picture, if you would. Yeah, so look at that. And something I liked about this, there's a number of different types. But one, I didn't want the ones that are more like a lattice or an arbor or a pergola where it kind of shields light, because what I felt the Lord saying in this is he wanted us to kind of fan out a little bit. And as we are connected to the vine and we grow as branches, everyone can see it. And it's kind of pretty and it's on display. So if you can kind of imagine that or understand that, if you will, about a trellis. A trellis, one of the definitions and usages of this word, is to train a plant or a vine to, like, how it grows and how it can maintain strength as the growing process is beginning. And any of you that can kind of understand where I'm going with this, sometimes growth hurts. And so to have a foundation or a support system as we grow in Christ to give us strength and ensure that we grow the right way, I think is powerful. So that's the imagery that I got today. You guys know that I kind of use the pictures and stuff, so maybe that'll help you if you're like me. And now let's read John 15, verses 5 through 8. I'm reading in the New King James today. It says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you."
Sorry, could you say that again?
I will. "By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will prove to be, or become, that's my additions, my disciples." I hope you enjoyed that. One of the things that stuck out to me in one of the translations is why I included it. It's in glorifying the Father through the bearing of fruit, he says that we will prove to be or become disciples. And one of the reasons why I like the Amplified translation, I was talking to somebody about that, it kind of colors in the words. So I did a New King James with some Amplified kind of added in. So I don't know if anybody still uses the Amplified Bible, but I think they're all right. So go right ahead. So the first area that I want to talk about under the topic of abide, the pillar of abide, is I believe that Jesus is calling us to become a people that value Sabbath rest. And so we've talked about Sabbath a little bit. I hope you remember. Going to do a little bit of a recap today with it, not too in-depth, but I believe he wants us to be a people that value Sabbath. We value rest. And I don't know that I have it in here, but if you remember, Sabbath wasn't just a stopping and resting. When we looked at the word, God stopped a specific something and started something else. So I don't know what you're doing today. When I was going through this, I felt the Lord say, what you may be doing is good. What you may be doing is something he told you to do. But what we're not hearing, the reason why Sabbath is not just rest, it's very important, so we're not going to deviate too far from that. But what I wanted you to hear today, what I feel the Lord wanted to hear today, was whatever you're doing, you're not listening to the cues of the Father, and he wants to encourage you to hear when he says to start and to stop something. Yeah. Is it time to move to the next thing? Or are you still holding on for dear life of the last thing that he said, right? The Israelites did that. We do that. Oh, he met us here. This must be how he talks. This must be how he acts all the time. And I felt just such a strong impression as we've been hearing, as we've been moving into the season. He says, I want to do a new thing. Why won't you let me? Right? So I want you to hear that. A Sabbath is a rest, and you need to learn how to rest. And I hope that as you're doing the prayer and fasting, whatever that looks like for you, we're going to talk about that too, that you're finding places to rest. Because if you're still busy, you're just starving yourself. He said he wants you to stop doing that and then focus on him, right? You're stopping something specific, all right? All right, I want to read in Isaiah 40, 31. I'm going to jump to a few scriptures, so I'll tell you the addresses first so you can write them down because we won't linger on them too long. But under the Sabbath rest, we're going to read in Isaiah 40, 31, Psalm 27, 4, and these will be on the screen, and Psalm 84, 10. So Isaiah 40, 31 says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And as I was mentioning that stopping a certain activity, how often, you know, so we can look at this in a few ways. A few ways that came to mind was, how often are we so excited for what God is doing or what God is showing us that we sometimes put the pedal to the floor and we're just going full blast, and God said, hold on a second. I don't want to do it that way. Slow down a little bit. Let's take it all in. Let's enjoy what we're about to step into, right? Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And then the flip side of that is not only going too fast, but in action, not knowing when to begin. So Lord, speak to us. Help us to hear you when you say start and stop. I want to wait on the Lord. I want my strength to be renewed, and then I want to put that strength to action. Are you with me? Psalm 27, 4. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell or abide in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. I love this, but I love it even more because you're his temple. I'm his temple. And he's so close, but how often do we miss him? How often do we go without even acknowledging that you're here? You're in this temple, right? Psalm 84:10, so better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. And one of the things I loved about this is, man, whatever you think of King David, yeah, he messed up, but so do we. But man, he understood the heart of the Father. Listen, I don't count myself worthy to be in the courts or the house of my God. I'll just be a doorkeeper because it's better than being in the tents of the wicked. Right? Like, that's powerful. Eli, thank you for being a doorkeeper at this house. Thank you for those that have stepped up and said, hey, you know what? I'll be a doorkeeper. It's not glamorous. It's not fancy. But I'd rather do that than anything else of the world. Right? That's a shameless plug. I encourage you to let us know if you'd like to be a doorkeeper at this house, greeting and blessing people in the name of the Lord as they step into this place. Because what I want to happen and what I pray that happens is that when people cross that threshold, it's like, whoa, what's that? That's awesome. I want to stay here, right? I want to be here. Not, I don't know about this place. I don't feel God here, right? I want to feel the Lord here. I want to feel the Lord here, right? So as I was thinking about this process, the second one has to do with relationship, our relationship with Jesus and cultivating that relationship. And it was probably over a year ago now, a word came to mind from one of the sermons that I taught on, and it was, do you study me? So the question for you is, do you take time to study Jesus? What do you mean? Well, I think those of you that know me, one of my favorite movies is the Cars movie, right? Animated. And Lightning McQueen is infatuated with this girl that he thinks is his agent, and it's not. And so she's another car, and he just, you don't have to do anything but stand there and let me look at you, you know? And that was his little word. And so they mess with him and pick on him later on down the line. But how in love with you, or how in love with Jesus are you? Because he's in love with you, and he wants to take time to look at you. And when we hear the Psalms of David and the ways that these men and women spoke about the Lord, it's, I just want to gaze upon his beauty. He's there and we're looking at him, right? And the other thought that comes to mind is when Moses is on the mountain and he's going to receive the Ten Commandments, and he asks to look on God, and God says, you can't see me, but I love the way that God just kind of shows off a little bit in that sense. And he says, I'm going to pass by you. And then he kind of like puts his hand, this is my imagery, my thoughts as it is. And so he's kind of hidden between this little cleft of a rock, if you will. And he's got his hand, and it's like he's peering through the fingers of God at God as he's passing by. And it's like, you know, just to gaze upon God's beauty, it's a thing. And I don't know if that, especially the fellas, I don't know if that bothers you. It does not bother me, because I want to look on the beauty of the Lord. I want to look on the majesty and the glory of the Lord, right? I don't want to go where his glory isn't. I don't want to go where his presence isn't. So do you take time to study Jesus? Another saying that may also resonate with you, I don't know if the youngins will know this, but growing up, they always said, you are what you eat. You are what you eat. We're like, what does that mean? Like, I'm spaghetti today, you know, right? You are what you eat. And the scriptures that came to mind as he said this was Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What do you treasure? What do you desire? Then another one, 1 Corinthians 15:22. I'm just rattling these off. Bad company corrupts good character. Who are you hanging with? Is it with Jesus, longing to do and say what he says? Or something else, someone else, right? What are you spending your time on? You start to talk that way. You start to act that way. It's not always good. I hope it's good. But who are you with? Colossians 3:16-17 says this. So let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, and I underlined this in mine, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. You see that reliance? You see that necessity to be connected. I'm giving thanks through him to God the Father. And as I act as a representative or ambassador, as some translations put it, I kind of have to know who I'm representing. I have to know what they say, what they think, what their decisions are. Because what I'm doing, or what I'm effectively doing, if I'm a good representative, a good ambassador, is not just mimicking what they say, but really letting it get down in deep, because it's really hard to speak about something that you're not acquainted with, right? It's not knowledge that you possess, it's knowledge that you're just regurgitating, and it doesn't sound like you really believe it or care about it, right? So what is our message? Is it a message that we feel and we know and we believe? Or is it one that we're just repeating? Now, I mean, Jesus is going to use it all, but you could get to the point in the last days where he said, I never knew you. Do you know him? Because if you know him, when you get to the last days, he's going to say, oh, to the sick that you healed and the gospel that you preached, and the love that you showed it to me. Remember that scripture? But you just saying the gospel and not living the gospel, he's going to say, I never knew you. Be gone. Man, what a terrifying situation to find yourself in, right? So whatever I do, let the message about Christ in all its richness, all its fullness, dwell in me, abide in me, right? I think something that I want you to get here is that relationship piece, the study of his word. But it's also here, and I worded it this way for a specific reason, it's here that we're called and equipped for service. Called and equipped for service. And the reason why I use that word when I was preparing this, I have it underlined in mine. It's here that we're called and equipped for service because some people just want position. They want title. They want all the accolades and all the things that come along with it, but they don't realize that sometimes it involves being unseen, unheard, you know, almost invisible. And Jesus came as a servant, right? So why would I seek anything else other than what he modeled, what he had? I brought out some Passion Translation scriptures, so I want to read a few of them. The first one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 through 16. I love the way this is said, so listen to this. It says, but God now unveils these profound realities to us by the Spirit. Yes, he has revealed to us his inmost heart and deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit, who constantly explores all things. Like that was, I loved reading that because like he's an explorer. I know why I love to go on those road trips and just explore things, because Holy Spirit is an explorer. He's like, hey, check this out. Let's go on a journey. Let's learn something. Like I just love it. So that was one of my favorites. Loved reading that. All right, next up. It says, after all, who can really see into a person's heart and know his hidden impulses except for that person's spirit? And so it is with God. His thoughts and secrets are only fully understood by his Spirit, the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is an explorer, but he searches out Father God's heart and says, hey, guess what he thinks about you? He loves you. He's called you. He's equipped you. He's transformed you. Like he's telling us this good news firsthand because he seeks it out from the heart of God. For we did not receive, verse 12, the spirit of this world system, but the Spirit of God, so that we might come to understand and experience all that grace has lavished on us. Amen? And we articulate these realities with words imparted to us by the Spirit and not with the words taught by human wisdom. I like that too. We don't communicate the way that we used to communicate. Now we're using language that comes from a regenerated life, a regenerated relationship. Do you see that? The second part of that says, we join together spirit-revealed truths with Spirit-revealed words. That is cool. You guys aren't excited enough. I'm really excited about this, but I love it. Verse 14, someone living on an entirely human level rejects the revelations of God's Spirit because they make no sense to him. They can't understand the revelations of the Spirit because they are only discovered by the illumination of the Spirit. He shines the light on those places and reveals them to us and gives us the knowledge. He gives us the word. You got to see that there. Those who live in the Spirit are able to carefully evaluate all things, and they are subject to the scrutiny of no one but God. Hey, as I evaluate this, does this sound like God? Does it smell like God? Does it talk like God? Does it look like God? Right? You see what I'm saying? Like, we evaluate those things, and it's like, bingo, that's him. But that's revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. For who has ever intimately known the mind of the Lord Yahweh well enough to become his counselor? Christ has. And we possess Christ's perceptions. Another version says, or we possess the mind of Christ. He's the head, right? We're the body. Or we should be. We should be acting like that. Isn't that cool? I don't know if you've read it that way. I read it that way and it just got all over me. So I hope that that blesses you as we talk about studying the Lord. Are you studying him that way? If you're not, he's asking you to kind of elevate that a little bit in you. All right, so far we've talked about becoming a people that value and treasure Sabbath rest. We've talked about studying Jesus and cultivating a relationship. Remember, these are all contained in that abiding. So the third thing that I feel that he wants us to grow in and see active in our lives through the abiding is prayer and fasting. Are you someone who prays and fasts? You could do them together. You can do them individually. But is this who you are? So look at in the key scripture that we read today. I don't know if I put it in there this way, but I'm going back to John 15, 7. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, what does he say? You will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. And so we've talked a lot about prayer. I think my last couple messages were soaked in prayer. But a few things I want to note here is, as we talked about before, faith and obedience. So a heart that abides in the Father is one that's not only full of faith, because I believe that he's going to do it, but I also obey him. I obey what he says, because I'm in lockstep with him. You see that? Then, here's the other part. This is something that, goodness, I've heard negatively. I believe that he hears me. I believe that he responds to me. And so often people say, he doesn't speak like that. Or he only speaks through the Bible. That's Logos. Through the Holy Spirit, he speaks via the Rhema too. And those things always line up. We just got done reading a scripture about that. He illuminates it. He gives us spirit words, but it always supports what the Word of God says. But I hands down believe, and I've had it happen in my life a time or two, I've heard the audible voice of God, which was, whoa, I always want to have that. But when I can't, I also hear the heart-leading voice of God, right? Do this, do that, right? Come on, help me out here. We have people that believe you're not going to hear God's voice until you get to heaven. I'm just saying you're wrong. So I hope there are others in this room that'll say, yes, I hear God's voice, right? It is real. He's not lying. Thank you. And so the last sermon we preached, I'm going to rattle through these really quickly too and then go to a couple. But we talked about in James 4 that in verses 2 to 3, he says, you have not because you don't ask. And when you ask, you don't get what you asked for because you asked with the wrong motives so that you can spend it on your desires. That's not abiding, right? Mark 11, 24 said, so therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. Are you believing it? As it pertains to his voice, I have two scriptures that, these are some of my favorites, but John 10, 27, he said, my sheep, say, I'm a sheep. I hope you can say that you're a sheep. Are you a sheep? Are you in him? I'm a sheep. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. He says, I know them and they follow me. The next part of the verse, he says, and I give them eternal life. Like, wow, I'm a sheep. I tell you this, sheep aren't all that smart. We think we're smarter than we actually are, but we're not. The moment we realize, okay, Lord, I don't know everything. You do. Would you help me? Isaiah 30, 21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Right? I love it. God, am I going the right way? Do I go right or do I go left? Hey, this is the way. Walk in it. Right? Does he say that to you? He says it to me all the time. Hey, man, you're going the wrong way. Turn back around. Go this way. For the fasting part of this, so that was the prayer part of this. For the fasting part of this, we look at the first part of verse 7 of John 15. My words abide in you. What did he say? As it pertains to fasting, Mark 2, 19 through 20, when Jesus was asked, why all these guys fast, but your disciples don't? What's going on? Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and they will fast in those days. Jesus is in heaven. He's the bridegroom. So we fast, right? We want to press into his heart. We want to press into what he's said and what he's doing and what he's going to do, right? I'm you know, not worried about saying, as it pertains to my fast, I've been fasting for breakthrough. God, I want breakthrough in every area of my life, right? I want to see your power and your miracles and your transformation on everything that I have, right? And I believe that's a prayer that is soaked in abiding with him. So I encourage you that as you abide in him, do you believe that he's going to do what you're asking for? I was thinking about fasting, you know, as it pertains to the scripture, so I know that we're doing it. But I was thinking about all the information out there, all the conflicting information, all the good information. What kind of fast are we talking about? Is it a fast that's easy? I've heard that said, oh, this was easy for me to give up this meal. Is it fun? I think that whether it's fun or not, I think that comes down, one of the things that he said to me, it comes down to our perspective. Because I have fun in the Lord's presence. It doesn't mean that the fast is always fun, but I have fun in his presence. But I liked, he said, it's your proximity to me. You ever get to that point where, you know, we're playing the game Follow the Leader, and someone just gets a little bit too far and you can't quite reach the back of their shoulder, like, hold on a second. I'm having a whole lot more fun when I'm actually in proximity to kind of follow along, right? You see that? So it's my perspective. Well, I choose to have a good time in your presence, regardless of what my physical situation is. But it's also, man, anytime I'm close to him, I'm having a good time. Right? You see that? All right, this is going to be a bigger chunk here. It's a few verses here, about, it looks like 11. But in Isaiah 58, the Lord led me to this. It's in the Passion. Go with me. This hurts a little bit, but it's so for now. It's so for us, and we need to hear it, the good stuff and the not-so-fun stuff, right? I asked the Lord, you know, what kind of fast? Here's the response that he said, Isaiah 58. And I looked at it, I was like, oh! So it's not 100% fun, but the promise is there. So listen to what he says. Starting in verse 3, Isaiah 58, 3, Passion Translation says, they say, why is it that when we fasted, you did not see it? We starved ourselves, and you didn't seem to notice. And God is doing a question and answer with them, so go with it here. So he says, because on the day you fasted, you were seeking only your own desires, and you continue to exploit your workers. During your fast, You quarrel and fight with others, and you strike them with an angry fist. When you fast like that, your voice will not be heard on high. Do you think that I'm impressed with that kind of fast? Is it just a day to starve your bodies, make others think that you're humble, and lie down in sackcloth and ashes? Do you call that a fast? Do you think that I, Yahweh, will be pleased with that? That hurts, but we do it all the time. They did it. We're repeating history, so we do it. So what kind of fast does he desire? Verse 6. This is the fast that I desire. Remove the heavy chains of oppression. Stop exploiting your workers. Set free the crushed and mistreated. Break off every yoke of bondage. Share your food with the hungry. Provide for the homeless and bring them into your home. Clothe the naked. Don't turn your back on your own flesh and blood. I'm going to pause here. Bring them into my home. What if I don't like what they have? What if they're naked? That's an awkward situation right there. I still bring them into my home and find some clothes? Yeah, that's what he's saying. It may not be convenient. It may not be what you like. I'm going to strike a little closer to home. They may have a disease or a sickness. Do you trust God enough to keep you safe? Or are we going to walk in fear at every possible second? Well, I don't want to catch nothing, so I guess this exempts me from doing what the Word of God said. What will be our response? Will it only be when it's comfortable and convenient? Would it only be when we say, I'm not stressed out right now, or busy, or working, or feeding my own family. It's not convenient right now. Or will it be when the Master says, do it, that we say, yes, sir, on it right now. This is what I'm talking about. This is the hard stuff. Rather than ask another question, I think I want to speak prophetically before we finish up this last section of the word. This people will be a people that when someone comes within vision of these doors, that we will greet them with joy. We will greet them with respect and love and honor. We won't be ignorant. We won't be, abandoning, our senses, but we will greet them with love and blessing and truth. We won't withhold truth, but we will provide and take care of. We will move in the Spirit of the Lord, and we will feed them. We will clothe them, and we will shelter them. We will speak the Word of God to them, because that is the best news. That's how bonds of oppression get broken. That's how chains get loosed. It's not you saying, oh, I'm so sorry that you're going through that. I wish it was better. Well, your wishes don't matter. The power of God does. So we will be a people that speak the power of God and the truth of God on their lives because it's the only thing that can change them. You and I can't. Our systems and our mechanisms in place to get people clean and get them off drugs and alcohol and all the other stuff do not work. But Jesus does. And if we introduce them to him and we do what he's commanded us to do, that on the last day when we look at our hands will not be soaked with blood, but they will be clean. And I don't know if you remember the song from the early 90s, but give us clean hands, oh God. Give us pure hearts. Right? Clean hands, pure hearts. Goodness. I break fear in Jesus' name right now. All anxiety, you have to flee. You cannot stand where the power and presence of God stands. In this place, the Holy Spirit presides and resides. He has all power and all authority, and anything else that comes against his rule and reign must bow in Jesus' name. I encourage you to declare that over your house. Stop living in fear. Don't do it. It's easy. Don't do it. Verse 8, then my favor will bathe you in sunlight until you are like the dawn bursting through a dark night. Then suddenly, come on somebody, say suddenly, your healing will manifest. Thank you, Lord, for healing. You will see your righteousness march out before you. And the glory of Yahweh will protect you from all harm. Whew. Then Yahweh will answer when you pray. When you cry out for help, he will say, I am here. If you banish every form of oppression, the scornful accusations, come on somebody, and the vicious slander, let it not be on my lips, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive us. And if you offer yourselves in compassion for the hungry and relieve those in misery, then your dawning light will rise in the darkness and your gloom will turn into noonday splendor. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Yahweh will always guide you where to go and what to do. He will fill you with refreshment even when you are in a dry and difficult place. He will continually restore strength to you so you will flourish like a well-watered garden and like an ever-flowing, trustworthy spring of blessing. I want that. Your people will rebuild long-deserted ruins, building anew on foundations laid long before you. Come on, this is so prophetic right now that he's speaking this over us. You will be known as repairers of the cities and restorers of communities. If you stop pursuing your own desires on my holy day and refrain from disregarding the Sabbath, if you call the Sabbath a delightful pleasure and Yahweh's holy day honorable, if you honor it properly by not chasing your own desires, serving your own interests, and speaking empty words, then you will find the joyous bliss that comes from serving Yahweh. And I will cause you to prosper and be carried triumphantly over the high places of the land. You will enjoy the heritage of Jacob, your ancestor. Certainly, the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. Amen. Can we take just a second? Will you just receive that for a minute? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to close with just a couple quick thoughts. One of the last times I went to sit down and talk with Gwen Shelton at her house, she was such a blessing. I always loved her stories, and we were talking about what we were reading. And it just so happened that I was in John 15. And she said, I'm in John 14. I'm excited about what you're reading, so I'm going to get into that next. But I'm in John 14. And this was very close to when Gwen passed. But listen to what she was reading. Listen to the hope that is just stored in these chapters. John 14, 1 through 4. Don't worry or surrender to your fear. For you've believed in God, now trust and believe in me also. There's no doubt Gwen Shelton believed in Jesus. But listen to what he's speaking over. My Father's house has many dwelling places. If it were otherwise, I would tell you plainly, because I go to prepare a place for you to rest. And when everything is ready, I will come back and take you to myself, so that you will be where I am. And you already know the way to the place where I'm going. They ask, we don't even know where you're going. How do we know the way, right? And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Those are all I am statements. You probably want to look that up. It's powerful. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No one comes next to the Father except through union with me. To know me is to know my Father too. And from now on, you will realize that you have seen him and have experienced him. As I was reading some devotions and praise reports from a Bible study group I was in, someone shared some perspective about Psalm 23, and I thought it was a blessing, so I want to highlight a few of those things for you, and then we'll wrap up in prayer. But they called it the Christian's life journey. And man, some of the youngers won't know this, but if you've ever watched or read any version of The Pilgrim's Progress, this kind of, you know, had a lot of that about it. Anyone familiar with that, or is it just me? Pilgrim's Progress? Yeah. Okay. So he called it the Christian's life journey. And it says, number one, so the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? We're reading Psalm. Well, let's do that. Let's go to Psalm 23. I want to kind of go with this. It's short enough, and I want to go through it together. So Psalm 23, many of us haven't memorized, but I want to be able to kind of stop and start and see my place visually. So the Lord is my shepherd. This version says, I lack nothing. I memorized it. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. He restores or refreshes my soul, right? He leads me, or he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And I want to pause there. So that's 1 through 3. So the journey starts easy and light. He refreshes us, like taking a long, fresh gulp of water from a quiet stream after a long hike, right? We're imagining this. Okay, it's easy, it's light, right? Then we get into the next part. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. All right, so what is that? 4 and 5. The journey becomes harder and heavy. He gives us the tools that we need and his protection. He rewards us in front of our enemies. All right, now part 3. So part 1 was journey starts easy and light. The journey becomes harder and heavy. Part 3. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The journey has a glorious ending. His goodness and his mercy have been following. I like this version. Chasing after us, right? He's prepared a dwelling for us. We just got done reading about that. And this life has been practice. Am I letting him abide in me and me in him? Where am I abiding? Who am I going on my journey with? I promise you, I've been on a number of journeys. They are way better with others. not as much fun alone. And Jesus says, I'll go with you everywhere. Right? And so in closing, as we're shutting it down and just asking God to cover it, I'm reminded of the trellis. And I believe the Lord is asking, what kind of branch are you? Are you pressing into that training and nurturing that come from the guidance of the Lord, the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that searching that he does? Or are we more like the lattice or the pergola or the arbor that kind of shield or block something? They block out the light. They don't let the light in. They're meant to cover it up. No, I want to be the one that's fanned out and open so that God's glory and his majesty can be seen in my life. And I'm sharing that with others. Remember, what's he say? Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven. Amen? So whose light are you letting shine? Would you stand with me? I'm going to say a short prayer, but I'm going to give some space. Feel free to kind of fill in the gaps, but you just agree, just lift your hands to heaven and receive and agree. Lord, I want to be a branch connected to the vine. I want to be one that bears much fruit. Jesus, this trellis or this system, this foundation that you're giving us to grow into strong men and women, sons and daughters, Lord, would you put it in place? Would you show us how to grow and how to become big and strong? Lord, forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for the ways that we've tried to get out ahead of you, that we tried to do things our way. Lord, we want it your way. Because you are the way, the truth, and the life. We want to be where you are. So teach us to abide in you, Jesus. Lord, we know that as we abide in you, as we are joined to you, everything that you have, we have access to. We thank you for that, Jesus. Help us to be good stewards of all these things. Help us to be like the stewards and the workers that return to you, that profit. Hey, Lord, we used what you gave us and we got more. Here it is. Lord, help us as a community to share what it means to abide in you. Jesus, I thank you for the direction. I thank you for the way that you're leading us. Lord, my heart says yes. I say yes to you. Whatever you want to do, however you want to move, Lord, I will wait on you and I will go when you say to go, stop when you say stop. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. Hope this blessed you. I hope that you allow him to kind of work on this in your heart. And there's a lot in store. There's a lot coming. And so I encourage you to pop the top and the walls off those boxes and just say, fill me up. Amen? All right. Love you guys. Bless you.